This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo's still confused on how this five-borough bike tour thing works. He's in here asking questions in the breaks. He's like, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm like, man, Jesus.
Well, don't call me. Call Jerry Cahill. He's the captain of Team Boomer. He'll walk you through this, but you are now over $4,000, and you haven't really done anything.
No, but the confusing part is I have a page through the Bike Tour website for fundraising. You're on something through your foundation.
Yeah.
And realize there were two different pages.
All right, so go talk to Jerry Cahill.
We have to do this on the air. I know.
All right, so.
I came in during the break, but then
I know. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to get out of your way now.
No, it's fine.
It's all good.
I was enjoying this. Yes. Trust me. This has been great.
Right.
On a feel-good Friday.
By the way.
I was talking to Al about that big fundraiser he's running down in Bradley Beach. I can't wait for that.
All right.
Yeah.
Again, I'll take the L on that. I said I wasn't going to name names of people who were lukewarm.
Yes.
So, of course, we're talking about this. And our guy, Mirash, from the afternoon show, was listening. He goes, oh, I forgot to text you Monday. You know, I'm in. So now there you go.
He's Shawnee on the Mirash team. Is in. I like it. I got to take him.
He's a big Peloton guy.
By the way, I got to take him to the Ranger game, and I told him I would. So I will figure out which game over the next couple weeks.
Perfect.
Sean Mirash is a big Peloton guy.
He is.
Like, what does that mean? Like, five times a week, big Peloton guy?
I don't know how many times a week, but a lot more than I'm on the Peloton. That's for sure. I don't have a Peloton. That's
I mean, he claims to be like a really good athlete for his size.
I tend to believe him on that, actually.
Yeah.
Even though you worked him in that O-line, D-line situation?
Mm-hmm.
I will say he's probably got some pretty good feet.
Yeah.
In other words, he can move around pretty good.
Yeah.
You think he's got good feet?
I think he's got good feet.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's got great feet. Probably a little fat feet. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, like, that doesn't look like good feet there.
I mean
feet were up in the air is what
I
they
mean,
were.
The fact that Al ended up on his back. I still can't watch Al. I just cannot get over this. Al's looking, hey, look at me. I know how to snap the ball and then just get absolutely pile-driven with his legs up in the air. That's unbelievable.
I think that was Spike's first week, too, and he was, like, really worried that one of us was going to get hurt.
I love this look from you here, poking the shirt.
You are so pumped.
The mullet was going.
Yeah, it was a... That was a stage of my life that
like you
that
were peak
needed that.
O-lineman right there.
I was. No, my ass cheeks were out, everything. I mean, it was insane. I'm not sure I don't know if I can get to that mentality again.
No, I don't think so.
I just did have an idea for Boomer and Geo. What is it, five?
Boomer and Geo live? I don't, yeah. I
is it five? Is it, what is it?
I'm not, is it five?
Yeah,
live five.
I got it. I got the perfect idea. I do not want to say it out on the air because I think it should be something that we surprise our audience with.
Good. Don't tell me then.
Yeah, big mouth.
Okay.
All right. So, but I have a great idea.
All right.
And it involves two of our, you know, our people that we deal with around here.
Ooh.
Mm.
And I think it's going to be great, and it has something to do with a conversation that we had on today's show. It has nothing to do with the bike tour or any of that stuff.
Okay. We're going to bleach somebody's butthole.
Possibly.
Okay. On that note, I'll see you in a little bit.
I'm not volunteering for that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You know what I... You know what I... Eddie gave me what he thinks it is, and it's that's definitely what it is. I know what it is. I'm not going to ruin it because he nailed it, and you said you didn't want it to be ruined, so I'm not going to say it.
All right, but we'll talk about it off the air, and I'll let people know whether or not you got it.
Okay, very good. You want to go to the calls here?
Sure,
yeah. All right. Let's go to Steve in Lyndhurst. What's going on, Steve?
Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Stevie. What's happening, brother?
Happy Friday, guys.
Yeah, happy Feel Good Friday. Steve, what do you got for us?
There you go. I love the show. I love all you guys, Al, Eddie, Jerry. I'll even throw CeeLo in there today because I'm in a good mood.
Okay, good.
But Jets fan, Boomer, I'm a year older than you. I watched the Super Bowl in 68. Loved what you did for the Jets. I was there on the fake spike game the same day. I know you're going to say you were there.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Paul McCartney's show and how he's a hero of yours. Now, about all the Beatles songs and all their solo stuff, like Golden Wings and all the solo, I was just wondering what your favorite Beatles song is.
Oh, my God. There's a million to choose from. I was just playing a couple in the break for Gio here. I'm thinking, I love A Hard Day's Night.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, I you could pick any one of, like, 50 songs, and every single one of them would stack up against any song ever written or sung.
Yeah, I'm partial to Jet because I've been a Jets fan so long. But I had a feeling yours might be Norwegian Wood.
Yeah, you know, whenever that pops up, yes, that's pretty good.
Oh, man, we can't even have a serious conversation about the Beatles around
here.
No,
we can't, no.
But, yeah, so you're an early Beatles guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Much more. And, by the way, it was Paul McCartney's not my hero. That's Mike Hill's hero.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Paul McCartney. Unbelievable what a career arc he's had,
right?
And he's still going.
Your heroes are in the Arctic. That's where your heroes
that's are. Exactly.
My
hero is Leif Erikson.
So you're an early Beatles guy. If I was picking early's Beatles song, it would be All My Lovin'. I liked All My Lovin' more than the other ones, and a later
like back
one
in the USSR.
That's a great one.
Love that one, right? Don't you? How about?
I mean, there's just like there's
so many. There's like 35 top 10.
I mean, Let It Be is one that I love too.
Hey Jude.
Yeah, I love Hey Jude as well.
Yeah, so like you could just keep going down the list, and it's just nonstop.
I'll give you one off the board, Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah,
there's one off the board. Yeah. All right. We'll stop this now.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yes. Should get back probably to sports.
Ah, it's too late now. I think no. Of course we will. Josh in Far Rockaway. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to say that I think the Giants are in such a bad position. It makes you really appreciate how it was when Eli came in with Coughlin. I said the last few months, like, if you're going to keep the GM and the coach, you got to commit to them for 2 years or get rid of them. Like, I'm kind of hoping they go for a stopgap because they're not going to win next year if they draft a QB. They knock themselves out of the top two spot. Get your stopgap, draft a guy in the third round, try to compete this year, and then you won't screw up the next regime inevitably when you don't win. It's like I'm already expecting a losing year this year.
Yeah, and this is where we have the divide from the actual management of the team and the fans, where there's just no way the Giants are going to put them in a position where they don't think that they can be around 500 or above 500
this year. Think about the NFC North, the NFC East, and the NFC West. Think about those three divisions, and you know that San Francisco is going to be locked and loaded again. I don't know what's going to happen with Matthew Stafford, but, man, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a long climb for the Giants to get back into the playoffs.
There's two ways for job preservation in my eyes, and one is to go out, swing the deal for Matthew Stafford, have him come in, play well, they win 9 games or more. And the other is to draft one of these two guys, and it looks like that guy is going to be the quarterback of your future. Those are the two ways.
If Matthew Stafford has a choice and the Rams do want to get rid of him and they do want to trade him, assuming the Raiders and the Giants are willing to part with the same amount of assets in order to acquire him, plus give him, you know, the contract extension that he wants, if it's a choice between Vegas or the Giants, he's going to Vegas. That would be my prediction about what he would be thinking, and due in large part to Tom Brady being a part of this whole thing. And the fact that they have homes up there in Montana is probably Big Sky by Discovery Land Corporation or something like that. And that is really hard to turn down. That would be really hard to turn down unless his brother-in-law here in New York is pushing hard for that.
Well, it's got to be more than just that. I think their offer has to be better than Vegas. So if the Giants say, we'll give you 3 years guaranteed at $50 million, and the Raiders say, I can't do that, and his brother-in-law is here, and he goes, okay, you know, that's the best offer. I mean, but that's really the only way the Giants, all things equal, the Giants are losing the tie.
I'll tell you who's watching this closely. That'd be Aaron Rodgers. Mm. And the other thing I would be thinking about if I were the Giants, and they don't think this way. I know that. I just have to bring it up just because it will be a potential situation in the near future, whether it be next year at this time or the year after at this time. And that will be, will Arch Manning be coming out of Texas? Now, everybody's assuming that he is going to be like his uncles. There's no reason why you wouldn't believe that, just like you wouldn't believe that Shedeur Sanders could be, you know, exposed, or Patrick Mahomes exposed to professional sports and become a really good player as well. I mean, is there a hope and dream that Arch Manning ends up someday as the quarterback of the Giants?
Well, of course, but I mean, you heard John Mara. He needs to be happier than he was at this time last year, and if he thought that the team was tanking, then he would have fired everybody on the spot right then. Those are the things that he said. So if they're bad again, really bad again, it's going to be a total new regime, and maybe they do draft Arch Manning. But this is why Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going hard after Matthew Stafford. If this were their first year here, they wouldn't have been doing this.
No, of course not. But again, Pete Carroll is doing it in Vegas. It's his first year there.
Yeah, but he's
older.
Right.
And he wants to win now.
And he's won Super Bowl. It's not his first job. It's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane's first head coaching job, first general manager job. Let's go to Tony in Pennsylvania. What's up, Tony?
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
My question is this. Why doesn't the Jets consider Stafford for a quarterback position?
Because I think they just went down that road.
Yeah.
But again, they're also going down the road where I think it's going to be Tyrod Taylor will be their starting quarterback going into the season. Depending on what they do in the draft, maybe they do like Cam Ward. Maybe they do like Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they'll trade up to get him, or Shedeur Sanders may fall to him. You know, a lot of people are thinking that Shedeur Sanders is falling right now in the draft, but I would just say be careful with thinking that just simply because teams need starting young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, if this were the first year of Shane and Daboll with the Giants, that they wouldn't be going after Matthew Stafford. That's the way I feel about the Jets. And then you add the fact that they just moved heaven and earth to go get Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't work out, and they're still going to have to deal with his cap hit, and then to bring in a guy who's making $50 million a year on top of that, it's damn near impossible.
Yeah, the question for the Jets right now is, what do they do with Davante Adams? Because they're going to have to redo his contract if they want to keep him. I can't imagine that Davante Adams would want to stay here unless Aaron Glenn can convince him to stay here. But, you know, I still think he's got a lot left in the tank. And depending on what happens in free agency and the Bengals and T. Higgins, Davante Adams could have his opportunity to go to Buffalo, go to Cincinnati, could go to Kansas City. I mean, those are the places that I would look if I were, like, this is what Myles Garrett wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way the Jets are bringing back Davante Adams at $40 million, whatever it is.
They're not going to bring him back, period.
No,
they're not coming back.
I mean, I know Aaron said it the other day that he's still a part of the team, and maybe they're trying to work out a deal with him. But if I'm Davante Adams, I want to get the hell out of here right now. I'm in my 30s. I want an opportunity to win, and the Jets are not there yet. They may be there in a couple of years, but they're not going to be there this year.
Danny in South Plainfield. What's going on, Danny?
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. Just a quick question. I'm going to be the first one to admit that I'm not much of a college football guy, but this Shedeur Sanders, would he even be in the news if it wasn't for Deion? It seems like Deion is, you know, keeping his name out there, and all of a sudden he's like a top two or three pick. I mean, is he that good, or is it just the fact that Deion is his his father.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of both, no question.
And I've asked that same exact question, Danny, to Boomer. I said if his last name were Smith instead of Sanders and his dad worked in finance, would we be talking about this like this way?
Yeah, but, you know, like we saw a lot of Shador Sanders when he got to Colorado because Fox made them their number one team. And there was a lot of national games. And Shador played really well. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, if he would get drafted, but would it be a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a first-round pick? I mean, there's definitely more hype around him because of his dad and having success with his dad and all of that. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Played a lot of football games. And again, here's the thing about being the son of a dad like Deion. Is that you've been exposed to all of this. You believe you can make it. And that's a big portion of whether or not, or a big part of whether or not a guy can actually become a starting quarterback in the NFL. You got to believe that you belong there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm telling you, when I sat with Patrick Mahomes and I shook his hand, we talked to him and everything, I could tell immediately, and I bet you if Shador came in here and we sat and we interviewed him and talked to him,
mm-hmm.
we would probably come away with like, you know, this guy is not a dummy. This guy really knows what he's doing.
And I said it earlier, I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I think he's going to work his ass off. I think he's smart. I think he's not going to be overwhelmed by any situation. All those things he's prepared for. I just don't know if he's that good. And then watching the highlights of him and watching the highlights of Cam Ward, Cam Ward is the much better player when you're just watching the film on him. And when I watch Cam Ward, I see Steve McNair.
Let's put it this way. If you had one of these two guys in last year's draft, would they be drafted ahead of any of the five guys that went in the first round?
Well, Phil said no.
I say no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And you know, I was a big Phoenix Energy guy.
Yes, you were a big Phoenix Energy guy. Indeed.
The other guy I like, and he's also left-handed, is the kid from Oregon, Dylan Gabriel, but he's short.
Can't be short.
Well, I mean, you know, Tua's not the tallest. I mean, you can be. And obviously, you're playing football at a very big school, and you're doing really well. So you're used to playing against bigger players and everything else like that. But, you know, just watching some of the games that he played this year, I thought he was really talented. But then again, he's a little bit on the underside side, so maybe somebody gets him to third or fourth round.
You know what's going to be interesting is, you know, Sam Darnold, where the hell is he going to sign? Hey. Like, the Giants aren't going to pivot to Sam Darnold if they don't get Matthew Stafford.
What if the Minnesota Vikings went back to him and said 2 years, $60
million? They're really going to have J.J. McCarthy sit there?
Maybe.
I never thought that was the case.
I mean, that's what Aaron Rodgers and that's what Jordan Love did. That's what the Green Bay Packers do. And how has that worked out for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very good. I think that those guys are a little more talented than J.J. is, but...
If you're Sam Darnold, where do you think you'd want to go?
You want to stay in Minnesota.
Right, so how do you make that happen?
By playing better in the last two games of the season? He had his opportunity.
I know. Just forget that for a second.
How can you?
But it's where we are right now is what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in what happened. I'm interested in what we think is going to happen, and how could he stay... in Minnesota. Under what circumstance would he stay in Minnesota? Number one, that would mean that there aren't a lot of teams that are looking for him or looking at him, especially if the Raiders are involved in this whole Matthew Stafford thing. I thought maybe that might be the place.
Yeah.
You know, reunite with an old USC head coach, an old USC quarterback, you know. And
I thought maybe the Saints, but then they said they're bringing back Derek Carr, and then I'm seeing rumblings that they want to trade up maybe for a quarterback, so it doesn't sound like they're in on Sam Darnold. I don't know. I don't know where the hell else he goes to start, because after what he did last year, he wants to start.
Well, maybe Minnesota says, hey, we'll bring you back. Going in, you're our starter. You got a two-year, $70 million deal. We'll guarantee $40 million of it, and then we'll play it by ear. I mean, I kind of feel like the Vikings are where the Giants were with Daniel Jones. After where the Giants, you know, ended up after that first year, and Joe Shane reiterated this at the opening of the combine. You know, we made some decisions after that first year that we regret.
Yeah, maybe. This was a one-year deal. I mean, the Giants had drafted Daniel Jones. I know it was a different regime that drafted him, but I mean, this guy was supposed to come in and just, you know, play a few games and then have J.J. McCarthy take over, ends up having this monster year. So
yeah, he was supposed to be the Kurt Warner to Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm. And then the Eli Manning in this scenario gets hurt and it's out for the year, and the Kurt Warner in this scenario has an amazing season for a majority of it. So, I don't know. The whole plan from the general manager was to have his guy in a rookie contract, his quarterback on a rookie contract,
and build around it. There's no way San Francisco would play Sam Darnold against Brock Purdy in contract negotiations.
I would doubt that. But, I mean, that would be one play. I mean, he was there already.
That's what I'm saying. They saw him, they knew him, they liked him. And, you know, I don't know what Brock Purdy's looking for. Brock Purdy has given you... See, the interesting thing about Brock Purdy as being the last person drafted in a draft, you make no money. You do get a raise because of your performance. But he gave $50 million worth of performances 2 out of the last 3 years. And last year, not so much. But the 2 previous years, he was great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on a feel-good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Nice day today. Going to be into the 50s tomorrow, so I know the temperature will drop again, but Jerry Recco, unlike the groundhog, had declared winter over. So
I like how he tried to talk his way out of that yesterday because there wasn't a big snowstorm, but the freezing 1 degree wind chill.
No, that doesn't
chill.
Count.
Yeah, I mean, he just, he was on the West Coast, though, during that whole mess that we had that week where it was like negative wind chills. But yeah, it is a feel-good Friday. It's all good. We got CeeLo's team all figured out, the WFAN NARPs.
Yeah, we got Marash in. And like I said, I think the last spot, we'll find a way to tie that into fundraising. And there we go. We're all set.
So I have to, I do have a bike that I use twice that is a great bike that Boomer gave to me to do the bike tour. So I'd like to pay it forward to somebody. But
we discussed, I think Pat Boyle would
Pat
be the
Boyle's going to be the guy.
I think that's the right call there.
And where the hell is Marash is going to get one of these road bikes?
He's going to have to.
Hopefully he has one, yeah.
I don't know that he has one yet, but he's going to have to get one. So right. He and I will discuss that now that he's committed. You know, he got the clearance at home. There's no first communions that day for his young daughters. They're not quite of age yet. Yeah. So we lost Rascona and we lost McMonagle because of that.
I'm kind of worried about Pat Boyle, though.
You're worried about Pat Boyle?
Yeah, because he's going to try to win the whole thing. And it's not a thing that you try to win. It's a tour.
I told them that. I said it's not a race. It's a tour.
Because they stop you halfway so they can make sure that they have traffic all set up the right way. So he can get the... He'll probably get halfway like in 30 minutes. Like, it could be like a maniac.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he already said it there. He's like, listen, I want to try to win. Like, there is no winner.
A lot of testosterone flowing through that body.
Oh, you ain't kidding, man.
I mean, there is not...
That's like BT Jr.
Yeah. Mm. Not far off.
Mm. There's some similarities.
Yeah,
dude, he could
that.
Be an offspring.
There's some similarities.
He could be an offspring.
Eddie's saying no.
No.
I don't see it.
Really?
Huh.
I mean, definitely
did
the man...
Did you see him on that football field?
I did. Oh, for sure. The testosterone part of it. Yeah, but I think that's where it ends.
And I'm pretty sure he's a lefty swinger for baseball and golf, if I recall correctly. Or did he switch to that when he had the... He had back surgery. I forget. It was one or the other. I think he was a lefty swinger. I don't know if he's a lefty thrower, though, because Boyle's a lefty. He's a lefty pitcher.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So you talk about similarities if they both got some southpaw on them.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, but I was talking more about the testosterone meatheadedness.
Yeah.
Would you put Pat Boyle as number one testosterone of the people we know that work here?
Well, I think it's still, I still think it's BT.
He's got a lot more years, though, on Pat Boyle.
Yeah, I know, but he's bigger, louder.
Testosterone is a young man's game.
Yeah, Steph, it's got to be Pat Boyle. Has to be.
Yeah, I mean, of everybody else, yes.
There's a cage match for you. BT against Boyle.
I mean, BT
no
turned...
chance!
BT just turned 50. You know, Pat's still in his 20.
50, yeah. And it's go time!
See, that's what I'm talking about.
See, I think that Pat Boyle would win that testosterone clash.
Get up!
Just based on age.
Jizz?
What's even the context of that one?
It was like that wasn't Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, but
a jizz? Jazz? What? Jeez.
Oh.
He went usually jizz, jazz, jeez.
Wow.
It was 3 seconds.
Wow.
Best part of Saga, what?
It's funny, I was going to say, that can't be Jazz Chisholm, but it was.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jizz? One more time, Eddie.
A jizz? Jazz?
What? Jeez.
That's up there with the Brad Heller one. Because Brad tripped all over him. So, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we ranked him. We had like 8
countdown,
of them. We ranked them.
That was excellent. I did enjoy that. That was a segment that was right up my alley.
All right, CeeLo, what do you got for us?
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Just for those who might be, you know, getting up later joining us, I know you guys discussed it. The latest update on the Matthew Stafford situation from Diana Russini. The Rams are set to meet with him at their facility in person today regarding his future. That's, of course, per sources. So
he did not have the greatest of years this past year. I mean, it was okay numbers.
They had a lot of injuries early.
They did, especially the wide receivers. They were missing Cooper Kupp.
As the year went on, yeah.
They got better as the year went on,
he played
on,
well in the snow in Philly in the playoffs.
He did.
I think that's what everyone's... Sort of the opposite of Sam Darnold, right? Where the numbers look great, but then he went off a cliff at the end. Stafford finished on more of a high note, I would say. You know,
I don't think anybody was talking about it, even though they had some games. I had someone send me a post on X2 that said they scored under 20 points in a bunch of games last year. But I don't think anybody was talking about Matthew Stafford being washed up at any point in the season last year. He was missing Nakua for a while. He was missing Kupp for a while. Yeah.
And a guy that regularly plays through being banged up and injuries, as you know. So anyway, Raiders and Giants have reportedly discussed a two-year contract for Stafford that includes $90 to $100 million guaranteed, which falls in line with that 50 per year number that we had been hearing about a little bit. Gio, I know you referenced this earlier, Jermaine Illuminor getting into it with people on X. So that originated, at least part of it, with Mike Greenberg and Damian Woody on Get Up, yesterday, kind of going after the Giants a little bit. Here was Greeny's part to kind of introduce his thought.
Matt Stafford can't seriously want to go to the Giants. I don't mean this as disrespectfully as that sounds, but I mean, Field Yates kind of brought up some of the options. You go into a wind tunnel behind a terrible offensive line on a team that was just awful last year.
And he kind of went on and on and on until he teed it up for Damian Woody, who started his thought with this.
No way I would want to play for the New York Football Giants. New York Football Giants are a disaster.
All right, so pretty strong thoughts. Now, Illuminor took to X, and he put Greenberg's behind a terrible offensive line in quotes, and he wrote, "I'm not one to make excuses, but before AT, Andrew Thomas, went down, we were dogging some of the best defensive lines in the league. Go watch the tape." And then he added Greenberg and said, "We can sit down and watch the tape together, my guy. Don't care who it is back there in 25, meaning quarterback for the upcoming season, but whoever it is, they'll be greatly protected." So he feels strongly about their O-line and what they're going to do.
Well, you remember they brought in Runyon, they brought in Illuminor, right?
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Van Roten later in the season. Was that later?
I've lost track at this point. But so many bodies.
Really, what happened is he's right. When Andrew Thomas went down, that's the bell cow. Like if Anthony Munoz would go down for us, it would hurt us. Even as good as we were, when you have one of the best at the position and you lose that person, it's almost impossible to replace him.
It's impossible to replace him, but we do hear week in and week out, oh, this team's missing both of their starting tackles, you know, and they're not as good, but they're still a functioning offense. Whereas the Giants,
depending on who the quarterback is.
Yes.
Well, also remember that Josh Azudu game that we did, Giants Eagles at MetLife.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was out there.
He had really had a hard time. They sat Evan Neal.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a chance.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I mean, it's like went out there with a blindfold on.
And you remember you were on the sideline and you saw a lot of guys going up to him, talking to him.
Yeah,
and
they were
keep
like
his head up.
Yeah, so they were also going over like his technique and stuff because he was getting bull rushed. So they were doing that on the sideline too.
They're trying to help him, and I got to tell you, I've been in situations like that. It is no fun, especially in the middle of the game where a guy has gotten beaten a couple times. All of a sudden, his confidence is in the toilet. So as a teammate, you're trying to pump him up. You're trying to keep him involved. You're trying to keep his head up because you don't want it to get worse as the game goes on. And some guys just don't have, I don't care how big they are, how strong they are, they don't have the ability to come back from the depths of that depression that overcame him that day.
Mm.
That's a hard thing, man, I'm telling you. So hopefully they get healthy and they get Andrew Thomas back and Illuminor's right.
That would be ideal.
It would be.
This Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz thing is sort of, you know, taking on a life of its own. You got other reporters tweeting pictures outside Starbucks, head on a swivel, all that. Even bleeding over to NFL Network's combine coverage yesterday as Rich Eisen, along with Daniel Jeremiah, would welcome in Ian Rappaport to their broadcast.
There is one other member of our broadcast team we've got to bring in. And he is the Jake Paul of NFL Network. Lots of buzz. He's trending with no punches thrown. Ian Rappaport. Rap sheet?
Thank you, Rich. I would say I'm
he looks a little under-caffeinated, actually, to be honest.
No, I'm properly caffeinated. A lot of great coffee brands. Dunkin' does a really nice job.
Nice.
Actually is a fantastic coffee. I could go on and on about the coffee brands that I love. That's not for right now. Let's talk right now about Abdul Carter.
Nice transition there.
There you go. Would you fight that voice?
Becoming a Dunkin' guy
well, of
now.
Course.
Yeah, of course you would.
I mean, these guys can't have any fun with anything, I guess. I love the Dunkin' shout-out.
Yeah.
That was great.
He's kicking Starbucks to the curb. And he's going Dunkin'. There
like
you go.
That's the first time Ian Rappaport was ever interesting, and he decides to go into something else. You know,
okay.
That's the way I look at it from a talk show host. I know it's different for him. He's an information guy, but I mean, Jesus, it's
all
a combine for God's sakes.
Let's
talking
go.
About you getting fought at Starbucks. That's funny. They set you up for it. He goes right into Abdul Carter.
He had a little fun with it.
God's sakes,
brought up the coffee element. So you know.
Hilarious.
All right. Let's go to Ann Arbor last night. Rutgers up 1, 3.6 to go. Michigan inbounding in the front court. Here was the Big Ten Network TV call with a little explosion from the crowd.
Finds Wolf to Burnett for the win. Yes.
You, sir, die.
Angry Jerry
that's
bleeding over.
That's two nights in a row. That's why TV college basketball is so great.
Yeah. Two nights in a row. One on the home floor, one on the away floor. Both teams from Michigan.
84-82 for the Wolverines, breaking the Scarlet Knights' hearts after they led by 12 midway through the second half. I'll play one more time because we played it very early this morning. This was Jerry's call here on the Fan, Rutgers Radio.
Gets it into Wolf. Catches, dribbles. Burnett, a three for the win. Good.
Oh!
And Michigan has beaten Rutgers 84-82. They couldn't make a three all night, but when it counted most, the Wolverines come up big.
They sure did.
Bend over and then take it.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Is that what he said to Steve Peichel?
Oh, man.
Would you like to hear that one more time, by the way?
Yes.
So it was about 6 or 7 minutes after the game ended when Steve Peichel did join them, and he was still pretty upset talking to Jerry, his partner here on the Fan.
We head downstairs now. Head coach Steve Peichel with his coach, Jerry and Austin. You've been around this game a long time. How do you even react to that?
Just f***ing devastated for our f***ing guys. Played so hard and f***ing the whole time. Excuse my language.
That last one just doesn't even, doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
He was
F-ing the whole time.
Yeah. Which that would be an interesting way to play the game. So it was a pretty quick interview. And once they wrapped it up, Jerry tried to add some context to the profanities Coach Peichel dropped on the air.
You can hear it in his voice. I mean, I've never heard him that in all these years doing this. Frustrated, angry, upset, and also proud. I mean, you can tell he really feels his team played and should have won this game.
And they did. And they should have.
We'll take a break. We're going to reset. When we come back. Wow. Tough one tonight.
Ooh, yeah. Long day for Jerry, and it ended in heartbreak and wee hours.
Yeah, that sucks.
Are they still on pace to miss the conference tournament?
No, I think they're still hanging in there by a thread. It's tight. I mean, they can't. I don't think they could lose out and feel comfortable, but
they got Purdue next.
They're right there.
They have the tiebreakers with a bunch of the other teams that have like 6 wins. They have 7 in conference.
Right.
I think they're not in, but
comfortable.
I could see them being a team that gets in and wins a couple games.
That'd be great.
They won't make the NCAA because of their overall record, but in order to make the NCAA, they would have to win the tournament.
Well, if they get over 500, they can get into the NIT maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's not what you would expect.
I mean, if they're in the NIT, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are not playing in that NIT, and there'd be absolutely no point in going.
Probably good point. Yep. Islanders beat the Bruins up in Boston last night 2-1. You get the Rangers and the Maple Leafs tonight at the Garden. Knicks and Grizzlies from Memphis. We get the Nets and Portland here on the Fan, coverage at 7:20. Real quick one just before we move on to moment of the day. Talk about people just throwing expletives out on the air now. So Ryan Lomberg, who played for the Stanley Cup champion Panthers last year, he went back to the Calgary Flames, back in town to face the Lightning last night. Pre-game interview on Sportsnet, talking about the rivalry there.
Got a lot of history in this building, some good, some bad. Do you like coming here or do you hate it?
I like the palm trees and the sunshine, but I hate these guys.
Wow, we're live. No.
I mean, it's
man,
just...
what is going on out there, man?
It's fair game.
People dropping F-bombs everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much say what you want and, you know, let the TV networks deal with the aftermath. That's the way that works. All right, moment of the day now, as we heard again from Adam Schein earlier, kind of detailing what might have happened if Boomer decided to go to the afternoons way back when. And of course, that led to Gio filling in some of the blanks. You know, Schein, more of a nuts and bolts sports guy, not really equipped to handle some of the off-color topics that we get into here on the morning show.
Boomer and I would have been phenomenal together in the afternoons. You know, doing a morning show, I'm not a morning show guy. I'm a sports talk guy.
There you go, nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I don't know if I on the other side of that, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much.
I would agree.
That's true. I like this format a hell of a lot better.
It's Schein trying to do some of the stuff we do.
You see the vagina-scented candle, Boomer? And Gwyneth Paltrow put out there? Damn. Let's list some of the vaginas you like to smell in Hollywood. Number 5. You know, Al Dukes came up to me the other day and said, did you ever hear of summer penis? Have you heard of summer penis? I guess that's when your penis gets a little bit bigger because of the heat and the humidity. I'll take anything to get my penis a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I watch this show. Guy comes in. He's holding something. It's a vajankle. Have you ever heard of a vajankle? What it is it's a synthetic foot with a vagina on top of it.
Think that would work.
Probably not, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
there you go, fellas. Moment of the day is only Gio as Shine can do.
All right, CeeLo. Good stuff, man. Everybody's doing these media podcasts.
Yeah, hold on for 1 second. Nick in the Bronx. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm in Gio's favorite place, Dominican Republic, right now.
Oh, nice.
I'm not getting mugged. I'm not getting mugged, but... Boomer, next time you come here, make sure you have a VPN number. The Odyssey app doesn't work unless you do the VPN. It doesn't work out of the country.
Well, why would I want to listen to these guys when I'm not here?
I'm calling. I'm the gentleman that reached out to CeeLo about the Ranger tickets. I tried to get through last week when he was on, and I couldn't get through, so I called the next show, and the producer there emailed him. So, CeeLo, you got my info. Yes. What I want to do, is there a way we can raise the stakes? Since Sean is on the team with you now, maybe you get, what's his name for, my head just went blank, the other Ranger fan, or the fake Ranger fan in the next show.
Sal.
I own 8 seats, so I'm going to donate 2. All right, I'm going to donate 2 of them with the Chase Lounge access.
Wow.
You pump it on this show, if you're not filling in for Jerry anytime soon, maybe you come in when you're doing a different show. We're going to rape these people. We're going to freaking watch them off. Well, in a good way.
Be nice.
Marash can auction them off on his show. He's do it away. I don't know. Al can do it on one of his web pages or something like that. Yeah. And you're all going to go in the Chase Lounge. And Boomer, I have an offer to you to put money into your team.
Okay.
My offer to you is you've been trying to send somebody to Turkey. I'm thinking about going. I'll be your guinea pig. I will come on the show. You can look at my bald head. I'll pay for half of it. You pay for it. My half goes into your foundation, and you pick up the other half. We'll do a before and after.
All right, Nick, you just made seven offers there.
All right, we got 7 offers here, Nicky. You're not in witness protection or anything down there in the Dominican.
No, you actually know me. We spoke a long time ago. We have a mutual friend, Hoagie.
All right, okay.
And I'm legit. I actually met Gio up at his the liquor store up in Scarsdale when he was up there a while ago. I'm part of the NYPD hockey team. I actually tried to get in touch with you to invite you on to one of the games. And again, I wouldn't pick up. So it was a 20-year anniversary.
Way to go, Al.
It was a 20-year.
This is true. By the way, I don't know if you heard this, Nick. I think Al's doing a fundraiser down in Bradley Beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'll be invited to that one, but it might be like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because he needs his nap and walking windy.
I'm completely confused here.
There's a lot going on.
I'm complete. So what is the end of this thing? So what do you...
The end of it is...
You have CeeLo's got your information?
Yeah, Hoff.
He should, because I'm...
Half past.
If not, Al has it because I just called in and I'm going to donate 2 tickets. He can either auction off those 2. He can auction where he goes with someone. I have 8 seats. I think there's a couple games that I still have a lot. I can do 1 for him, 2 for the auction, and then 1 for Marash and 1 for Sal. So you can push it up even more money with an FAN auction on 3 different shows. And we'll blow them. We're going to be boomers, CeeLo. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay. Boomers, okay. You won.
Good job, right, man. We appreciate it.
We're very late. I got worried there until he mentioned it was the good kind of rape. And then I said, okay. I got concerned. I was like, man, you got to distinguish which type of rape we're talking about. And then he said the good kind. I said, okay. Nick, I got you now.
Bottom line, I have access to Nick's information, and we will... work all that out and make it a little easier to digest for everybody.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. You got your hands full.
There you go.
Finally got you kickstarted.
Good to have the hands full.
CeeLo, we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Good job by CBS Sports Network on turning around the CeeLo segment already and playing it in the break there, and the headline of your donations are a little CeeLo, which I thought was clever as well.
Yes.
They're all over it, but we got him going in the right direction, and now I think he's going to be okay. But it does fascinate me to this day that someone who's been around you as much as CeeLo has doesn't grasp that if he drags his feet on something that has to do with the foundation that he's not going to get roasted over the coals. I mean, it's like, it's amazing to me.
You know what, though? I do appreciate the effort on his part. And, you know, he was a little lackluster. There's no question about it. And Jerry Cahill was the one that reminded me
that he was doing nothing.
Right. That he had raised $75 up until today, and he was having trouble getting a team together and everything else. But the kindness of our listeners and the people out there that know our story and know how we talk about this Five-Borough Bike Tour and all the things that we have done, once again, stepped up and to the tune of over $4,000 for CeeLo.
Yeah, I think Sydney got pregnant this year just to not do the bike tour. I think that's
She actually loved the bike tour.
No, I know she did. She had a good time with her friends and everything else.
Yeah, and she got a couple of her friends still riding. So, yeah, I mean, like, the point being is that, I participate financially, of course, just like my friends do. And I love being a part of something like this because it is a huge team that we put together. And it really does mean a lot. And the money goes a long, long way. The difference is that we have 7 BEF babies that have been born this year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We have 3 more on the way because of our IVF grant program that Gunnar and Darcy have put together. I mean, like, the money is making such a difference. And we try to stay in our lane. And today, oddly enough, is Rare Disease Day around the world. And there are over 10,000 rare diseases that we know of. And CF happens to be one of them. It falls in that category. So it's kind of nice that we were able to do this for CeeLo this morning and also raise awareness for what we're doing.
I think Pat Boyle lives somewhere north of the city, I think. Would it be terrible of me to have him drive to my house to get this bike? So,
well, can't you just bring the bike in and hand it to him?
Yeah. Real pain. Car's smaller now. Bike doesn't fit in there.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the truck like I did the last time.
Okay.
I'd have to drive a truck in. Then if I have a different car when I go to the garage, it's all sorts of problems. Be a real pain in the ass for me. And he's a young guy, you know, and I'm driving all the time. Would that be a terrible thing to make him come all the way to my house? Get this bike?
You know what I can do? I'll have Richie stop by your house.
Okay.
Pick it up. I'll get it, and I'll bring it in.
With the Raptor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How's that sound?
That's a little bit easier.
Pat's, you know, working a lot of hours and doing a lot of stuff. I don't want to have to put him out too much.
Well, he offered. I wasn't going to make him do that because I thought that was crazy, and he offered. I was like,
Would you have let him come in the house and look around?
Absolutely not. No. Would have met him outside, would have helped him, handshake, that's it.
Hey-o!
It's a weekend, man.
When was if Mercadante came over?
Oh, I already have snipers on the roof for him. They've got a little picture of him. If this guy gets any closer, you know what to do.
Right. All right, let's get to a Sports Minute. How about it?
Sure.
And I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so listen. Sports Minute brought to you by your local Ford stores. Have a great weekend. I'm taking off, Gio. You can say goodbye to everybody.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.